This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We wish you a warm welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. People are very important to God, and He went to great lengths to prove His love for us in Christ Jesus. As His followers, we are also called to love people. In this week's message, we will talk about our role in this calling and how it impacts the lives of others.
If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God has an important calling for you. I invite you to stay with us and hear what that is. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Merciful God, we give you thanks for giving us another day of life with you. You've always been so faithful to us. You've provided us with food and clothing and home and family and daily work and all we need from day to day. You've rescued us from sin and death through the giving of your Son Jesus, who died on a cross for us. You have given us a high calling to ministry, that others might come to know you and trust in your Son Jesus through us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Amen. We're looking at the "you are" statements that Jesus made to his disciples. Today is from Matthew 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You're the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Before we get to the message today, I feel like I need to apologize to you for this voice of mine. I've been fighting a whale of a head cold that just doesn't seem to go away. So please bear with me today. Let's pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. Dear friends, in the Bible, from the beginning to the end, there is a central theme that we don't want to miss. And that central theme is this: people matter to God. We turn to the book of Genesis, and we see that God created human beings in His own image. None of the rest of creation can claim that for themselves. The psalmist reminds us that we're the crown of the creation. We turn to Genesis 12, and God calls Abraham to do what? To be a blessing to the peoples of the world. People matter to God. We get to the New Testament, and we see John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." People matter to God. You turn to 2 Peter, and you hear Peter telling the folks in his letter, the reason why Jesus isn't coming back as soon as you thought He would is God is being patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but wants to have them repent. Again and again, we read throughout the Bible that God cares about people and he wants to have a relationship with human beings. They were created for that. Jesus came into the world in order to make that a possibility again for us as he died for us on a cross. Well, today, Jesus tells us in this passage that I read earlier for you that because people matter to God, then he wants people to matter to you. It only stands to reason. What's important to God would become important to his followers. There's a humorous story that's told about a young man who applied for a job as an usher at a theater in the mall. The manager asked him, "What would you do in case a fire breaks out?" during the interview. The young guy answered, "Oh, don't worry about me. I'd get out okay." Well, that's how we as Christians respond sometimes when asked, "What would you do if Jesus came back tomorrow?" "Oh, don't worry about me. I'd be okay." But the thing is, you're an usher now. It isn't enough just to get out yourself. You are responsible for helping others get out. People are to matter to you because they matter to God. And that's what Jesus tells his disciples who have chosen to follow him in this passage today in Matthew 5. He says, "You're called. You have a new identity now, a new title, so to speak. First of all, you are the salt of the earth." It's important for us to realize when he uses that metaphor that salt was a valuable commodity back then. They actually used salt to pay army wages to Roman soldiers. Thus came the saying that somebody's worth their salt. Let me share with you what made it so valuable back then. Well, because salt was a preservative. We must remember that they didn't have refrigeration back then. So if you were a fisherman or a cattleman and you wanted to get your meat to the market without it spoiling, how do you do that? Well, the way they did it was they'd salt it down because salt keeps things from deteriorating. We also know from our own experience that salt adds flavor. If you've ever been in the hospital and put on a no-salt diet, you know it's not a happy meal. When I go to the movie theater and I order my box of popcorn, they ask me if I want butter. I said, "No, it's a little salt." And boy, they salt that thing down. You know why, don't you? Because salt creates thirst as well. They want me to buy one of those $10 Coca-Colas. Well, what Jesus is implying here is that the world around us, meaning people, our society, is deteriorating. And it's bland and impure, spiritually and morally. People need God's life-giving touch in their lives. And God needs salty Jesus people like you and me to touch those lives in a positive way, through words and actions, so that they might be changed by the love of Christ they receive through you and me. Jesus followers like you and me have to have the potential to be a preservative and to bring flavor into other people's lives, to be change agents. You know, the church takes a lot of hits. We've got some negative history, I agree, about hurts that we've brought to the world. But let us never forget what we've brought to the world in terms of the positives. Have you ever considered the positive changes brought by Christianity that's been a blessing to the world? For instance, we look around and we see these wonderful hospitals. You know, many of these great hospitals that are in our land today are here because Christian men and women started them up, wanted to see healing and care given to those that were sick in their country. Or we look around at some of the great universities of the world, Yale, Harvard, Princeton, Oxford. Where did these come from? They were started by Christian men and women who wanted young people to get the training they needed to be successful in life. They wanted to train them to be missionaries and so on, and make a difference in the world for Christ. Some of the greatest works of literature and philosophy and music and art and architecture and sculpture are here because of Christian men and women using their giftedness to bless this world with beautiful things. We look at modern science. It's rooted in a biblical worldview that assumes an orderly and predictable universe. Many early scientists were also devout believers, and there are still many today that are. Who's usually called upon when there's a disaster in this world? It's typically the Christian organizations that are there first, trying to bring about some healing for the hurt that maybe some sort of tragedy has brought upon people. Where would we be without salty Jesus people? Jesus goes on to say, you have another title. You're the light of the world. Now, sometimes people, when they hear this, think, well, what gives here? Jesus said he was the light of the world, and you're right. He did say that. But think of it this way. As the moon reflects the sun in the dark of night, we reflect, as Christians, the Son of God in our dark world with our actions and our words. What does light do? Well, light reveals, illuminates, guides. It dispels the darkness and makes things clear. It makes things more safe for us so that we're not stumbling around. I know I'm so thankful for that night light that I have when I have to get up in the middle of the night. Jesus is saying basically this. The world is a dark place spiritually and morally, and it needs my light. Robert Louis Stevenson, great writer from the past, when he was a child, was rather sickly kid. He was always, it seems like, stuck at home in his bed. One day his mother came in and saw him leaning against the window. It was a cold winter day. He was watching the lamplighters down below light the street lights. And she said, Robert Louis Stevenson, what are you doing? You're going to catch your death of cold. Get away from that window. He said, but mother, I'm watching a man poke holes in the darkness. And that's what Jesus is saying to his disciples in this passage today. He says, people are living in darkness. They need someone to poke holes in it for them, to make their lives a little bit brighter with the love of Jesus Christ. So we got a title, your salt, your light. But in this passage, Jesus not only tells us about this new identity, but he also gives us some responsibility. He goes on to say, after he says, you're the salt of the earth, he says, what good is salt if it loses its saltiness? You need to retain your saltiness, Jesus is saying. I guess salt back in those days wasn't so pure. It would be easy to wash away and have nothing left but impurities. When it would rain. He says, how do you keep high potency as a Christian? Well, you need to take care of your own soul. You need to feed it the Word of God. You need to spend time in prayer, asking for God's guidance and God's strength and God's help and God's wisdom. You retain it as you stay in fellowship with small groups of other Christians or in worship, hearing again and again about the mighty love and power of God at work in this world. It helps to retain that high potency salt that we are. What Jesus is also implying by using this metaphor itself, salt, as he just describes us, he's saying basically this, what good is salt if it stays in the salt shaker? It's only good if it is brought out into close proximity, touching the object that needs it. It needs to touch people's lives in a positive way. We need to shake our salt shakers. Perhaps a good song to be singing in the church these days would be, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. What does a salty Christian look like? Well, first of all, let me tell you what it doesn't look like. I laughed when I saw this. A police officer pulled a driver aside and asked for his license and registration. What's wrong, officer? The driver asked. I didn't go through any red lights, and I certainly wasn't speeding. No, you weren't, said the officer. But I saw you waving your fist as you swerved around the lady driving in the left lane, and I further observed your flushed and angry face as you shouted at the driver of the Hummer who cut you off, and how you pounded your steering wheel when the traffic came to a stop near the bridge. The man asked, "Is that a crime, officer?" The officer replied, "No, but when I saw the 'Jesus loves you and so do I' bumper sticker on the car, I figure this car had to be stolen." What does a salty Christian look like? It's a person who's compassionate, a person who is authentic, real, sacrificial, thinking of other people, interested in hearing other people's stories, a good listener, a compassionate servant who has a big heart for hurting people and wants to get involved in the lives of others, living in close proximity, not keeping it to ourselves, this salt that we have, but shaking it into the lives of other people. What good is light, Jesus goes on to say, if it's hidden under a bushel basket? Light's meant to be put on a lampstand so others can see in the house and not be tripping around and getting hurt. And Jesus says, so let your light shine before others so that they see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Good works. Not only are we supposed to clearly communicate the revelation of God's truth, of what God has done for all of us in the person of his Son Jesus, as we clearly tell the gospel and tell people that Jesus has captured my heart and that you matter to him too. But it means also that I, with my actions, let the gospel speak. That I'm willing to be a servant of people and let them know that God really, really does care about them. In his book, The Best Kept Secret of the Christian Mission, John Dixon writes about his introduction to the Christian faith. He says, under God, my own conversion was a result of one person's willingness to embody the mission of being a friend of sinners. One of the relics of Australia's Christian heritage is the once-a-week scripture lesson offered in many state high schools around the country. And one of these scripture teachers, Glenda was her name, had the courage to invite my entire class to her home for discussions about God. The invitation would have gone unnoticed, except she added, "If anyone gets hungry, I'll make hamburgers and milkshakes." As I looked around the room at all my friends, all of them skeptics like me, I was amazed that this woman would open her home and kitchen to us. Some of these boys were among the worst sinners in our school. One was a drug user and seller, one was a class clown and a bully, one was a petty thief with a string of breaking and entering charges to his credit. I couldn't figure Glenda out. She was wealthy and intelligent. She had an exciting social life, and she was married to a leading businessman. But what was she thinking, inviting us for a meal and a discussion about God? At no point was this teacher pushy or preachy. Her style was completely relaxed and incredibly generous. When her VCR went missing one day, she made almost nothing of it, even though she suspected quite reasonably it was someone from our group. For me, her open, generous attitude towards us sinners was the doorway into my life of faith. As we ate and drank and talked, it was clear this was no missionary ploy on her part. She truly cared for us and treated us like friends, or perhaps more accurately, like sons. As a result, over the course of the next year, she introduced several of us from the class to her ultimate friend of sinners, Jesus Christ. and lives got changed because someone took a risk and served with light and salt in the life of John Dixon. You don't have to go overseas to do these kinds of things. I've almost entitled the sermon, "You Are a Missionary." That's what Jesus is telling these disciples. You are a missionary. And being a missionary doesn't have to happen somewhere else on the globe. You have opportunities all around you if you but open your eyes to them and take a chance and reach and love somebody in the name of Jesus Christ and use that name of Jesus. You know what's going to happen? You're going to see amazing results. Jesus says, through you, others will give glory to your Father in heaven. He'll give glory to your Father in heaven. They'll give themselves over to Him. And lives will get changed because you have touched them in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's my appeal this day. As Jesus reminds us, you are missionaries. Make your life count for Jesus Christ this week. Let it shine for Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for trusting us with this high calling. We ask that you fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might be useful in bringing other people to you. In Christ's name we ask your help. Amen. As you go into your week now, remember, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before others so that they see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. God's counting on you. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has encouraged you to let your light shine and love someone in the name of Jesus. Christian Crusaders is 78 years old. Our first broadcast went over the air in 1936. You're invited to help us celebrate this anniversary with a gift of $78. You see, your donation will be used to ensure Christian Crusaders continues to broadcast the gospel for many years to come. So please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. To find out more about the many ways you can support our ministry, please call us toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. To obtain a CD or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-693-2484. You can also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. All copies of the program are offered free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help defray production and mailing costs is always appreciated. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day and pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 79th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.